Blog Talk Radio.
Was law, but based on his love for humanity.
Jesus was preaching this message of grace to the people and trying to get them to focus on having a different type of relationship with Father, because Father desires fellowship and relationship with his creation. Awesome topic. And you know, if it was what Jesus preached, we should be preaching it too.
Amen. Amen. That's an awesome thing. It's awesome what Jesus did for us and what he did for the cross on us. And a lot of people don't really understand what he did on the cross for us. And, you know, Paul tells us a lot about what he did on the cross for us. And it's really getting to the details, because you really know that, you know, a lot of these churches, they don't tell you the details. They just tell you what you want, what they want you to know, and that's it. But you got to get into the Word of God to see the rest of it. You've got to study it for yourself. You can't just always take people's words for it. You've got to study it for yourself and see the clues and see all the things that Christ has set up for us. That's one of the main things, is that a lot of people, they take what comes out of the pulpit for granted. They think that is it. They leave their Bible underneath their table with the dust on it, and they never pick it up and read it and find out the truth for themselves. That's why it's always important to kick that dust off that Bible and pick it up and start reading it and start listening to, start reading it and get the words into you and get the knowledge. And I know a lot of people myself, and I even talked to some people that's been calling in for healings and stuff like it, has contacted me, and they was listening to Curry Blake and a few other ones, and they was talking about scriptures and this and that, and even about healing and stuff. They had no idea about all this stuff. And they didn't really just take their word for it. They actually picked up the word and started finding scriptures and started reading in the Bible. And they was like, hey, half of my life in my church, I've been bewildered. I didn't know this. I didn't know this was in the Word of God. I didn't know this. I didn't know that. I didn't know I could do healing. I didn't know I was expected to do healing. I didn't know I was supposed to be building the kingdom. I didn't know this. And then after they find this out, they felt like they were left out of half of their Christian belief system. They just was left out of half of it, or maybe about all of it. And it's just, you know, and one of the big things that I have a problem with sometimes is a lot of the churches that get stuck in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is great to read and learn about what happened to all the apostles, I mean, all the prophets and stuff back in those times and what leads up to Jesus. But I really think we should stay in the New Testament quite a bit. I think we should study the New Covenant, what we're living in today, and find out all the details about that. Not just falling back in the past in the Old Covenant, but stay in the New Covenant. And the Old Covenant does tell you what did happen, where you came from, where you are, and what brought you up to now. And that's very important, too. But I've saw a lot of people, you know, they'll be sitting there at a church meeting, and they're studying the first thing they're studying is the Old Testament, and then they start going through all the, you know, all the hellfires come down the sky and all the bad sins they've done and how God's punishing them all, and the congregation sitting there like, oh, Lord, man, I'm in trouble, you know, that there. And they don't really get to really hear the salvation of what they're in now. They forget it, and they jump back into the law, and then they're back to it again. And I'm going to tell you, the law does show you where you fall short, and it does bring you back to the Word of God where you need to be. You need to be, you know, renewing your mind, like you always say, Robert, renew your mind in the Word of God. That's very important. But you're going to go ahead and kick in and tell about what type of cleanup job Jesus had to do.
Wow. Well, one of the first things we need to look at, you just mentioned, is the covenants. The old covenant that man was under was just simply established to point out what was wrong within man and how that man did not have the ability to save himself, and through his own self-righteousness, he was not good enough to approach God. And the old covenant was basically types and shadows of what was to come. We were supposed to be able to take the law itself, it is perfect, it is good, but no man could live the standard of the law. And that's where religion has stepped in. Religion is today what we would have called the law back then, the old covenant. Man trying to get to God in his own ability. Man thinking that his self-righteousness can cause him to be able to have relationship with Almighty God, which is not true. What Jesus has done, the mess that was made by Adam and Eve in the garden that caused them to get kicked out of Eden, and then before you know it, the whole earth is consumed with evil. Father's having to pass judgment on humanity and try to clean up the mess that has been caused through the fall of man. He finds a man by the name of Noah, and he establishes a covenant with Noah. He tells Noah, hey, Noah, you build an ark. You and your wife and your sons and their wives, they're going to go. You're going to go into this ark, and I'm going to protect you and save you and spare you from judgment. So Noah obeys God, and once the flood is over, Noah and his family comes out onto the earth that has been cleansed of unrighteousness, and he gets another opportunity to start over producing righteous seeds in the earth for the Lord. Well, Father established the covenant right then with Noah, and he said, look up in the sky, and there was this great rainbow in the sky. Father said, this right here, this rainbow, it is a covenant. A covenant without condition. I will never flood the earth in judgment again. So, Father, when he establishes covenant, he does it with the intention of it forever being in effect. And this is an unconditional covenant. Nothing that a man or nothing that an angel, nothing anything would do is going to cause Father to go back on his word and break his promise or his covenant. So what he's done is he's established the covenant of the rainbow that is forever. He did the same thing through Christ Jesus. The topic of grace has been misunderstood by so many. I'm going to define grace tonight. Grace is Father's overwhelming ability or Father's overwhelming desire to treat man like Adam never sinned. Grace is Father attempting to get you and I to be able to relate to him on his terms. Grace is a covenant that Father established, and let me say it like the rainbow covenant, it is an unconditional covenant that is forever established in the blood of Jesus our Lord. Father has turned Jesus' life and ministry into the very thing. That's why Jesus said, no man can come to the Father except by me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If any man tries to get to the Father any other way other than through me, he is a thief and a robber. So Father has established. Father made a plan. Father sent the Lamb and the blood of that Lamb and that body, the body of Jesus our Lord. It was the literal veil of the flesh that was torn for us, giving us total access to the Father once again. Grace, Father's overwhelming desire to fellowship and have relationship with his creation, has been presented to us in the form of the gift of Jesus Christ. Grace has a face, and it's the face of our Lord Jesus. Grace has a name, and it's the name that is above all names, Jesus, our Messiah. So what we have got to do is we have got to take the Old Testament. It's good. The law is good. The law was a type and shadow, but it was only temporary, and it was designed to point us to the new covenant of grace the new covenant for all humanity to have access to Father, not based on man's doing good or bad, but based on the obedience of Jesus the Messiah. Amen?
Amen. Amen. That's awesome.
God is
awesome
so good.
To hear what Christ did for us, and you know, understanding grace and understanding what he did for you. And like I said, there's a lot of people that don't really understand all that. They just bewildered when it comes to stuff like that. And I know back in my old church that we would sit back and say how many sins we've done and this and that and how sorry we was. And before we know it, we was already depressed. And then we was asking Jesus for all this forgiveness and stuff. And then we was like, thank God, you know. We go from depression to kind of happy but not really sure. And then you leave church confused. You didn't know whether he was on the good side or the bad side. You were just keeping your fingers crossed when you walked out the door. So, you know, it was kind of entertaining all at the same time. But the thing of it is, in the blood of Christ, you are saved. You are cleansed. Your soul is already taken care of. Once you accepted Jesus in your life, he has took all that from you. And that's one thing you've got to understand, is that he did that for you. Once you accept him, you got that right there. But one thing I like to say is, anybody that's not really received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, at this time, I like you to say this prayer with me. If you want him in your life, you want him to start changing your heart and changing your life, I ask you just to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
My Lord and Savior.
I ask you to come into my heart.
I ask you to come into my heart.
I repent all my sins to you.
I repent all my sins to you.
I believe that you died on the cross for me.
I believe that you died on the cross for me.
And I believe that you rose on the third day for me.
And I believe that you rose on the third day for me.
Thank you, Jesus, for what you did.
Thank you, Jesus, for what you did.
Come to me, Lord.
Come to me, Lord.
Now.
Now.
Father, in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, I ask you just to hit these folks right now with your power of the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit just to slam on them right now. Just reveal yourself to them. Just as strong as you ever have anybody. Just reveal your presence upon them now in Jesus' name. And folks, if you just said this prayer, he just came into your life. I'm just going to have the Lord just to reveal his presence to you very strongly. Lord Jesus, just come upon them very strongly. Even come upon Robert very strongly. Anybody's listening to the broadcast, anybody's listening on a podcast, listen to them in the library, Lord Jesus, whoever listens to this thing, I want you to hit them very strongly now in your holy name, Lord. Just come upon and bring your presence upon them now, Jesus. Lord Jesus, I sure. Just come upon them. Bring your grace. Bring your peace upon them now. Holy Spirit just said, this is the truth. I interpreted it for you. He said, this is the truth. So the Holy Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ said, this is the truth.
Yes.
The truth has come upon you now. You just ask for the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ has come in your heart, and he's living there now. If you just said this prayer, he's there now. Father, I ask you just to bring your peace upon them now in Jesus' name. To spring your magnificence and peace upon them now in Jesus' name. Just bring the peace upon them. Bring this peace,
Lord,
that passes all understanding. Just bring it upon them now. Just bring this peace upon them. Just bring this peace upon them.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, Father's system. Thank you, Lord. Mm. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Thank
That's
you,
awesome.
Jesus. Thank
That's
you,
awesome.
Jesus. You know, Stan, over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verse, chapter 9, verse 12, it says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That's what everyone who just accepted Christ, you just accepted eternal redemption for yourself. And it goes on to say in verse 15, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, under the law, that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Praise the Lord for eternal redemption and eternal inheritance. That's what Jesus has done for us. It says in chapter 8, verse 12 and 13, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that, he said, a new covenant he hath made, the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away, which means to be obsolete and negated. We're no longer under the law. We're no longer under the curse and the penalty of the law. We are now Jesus. He is the head, and we are seated with him at the right hand of the Father. That's what grace is. Father wanted mankind to be restored and to have access to his presence, and that's what grace has done for us. Grace, Father's overwhelming desire to treat us as if sin never happened, has happened through Christ Jesus. And for everyone who just accepted him, this is what has happened to you. Your spirit man has been rebirthed, renewed, and now it is sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, so what you now have is the ability to boldly access the presence of the Father, because when you approach Father, you no longer approach Father based on you or based on the works that you have done. It's all based on Jesus. Jesus took his blood, and he took that blood, and it cleanses us of all unrighteousness, making us worthy and righteous before the Father. Father only looks at us now, those who are in Christ, and he sees you blood bought and blood washed. Now you can have peace. You don't have to have fear. You don't have to have shame, guilt, and condemnation hovering over your head. That's what grace is all about. That's what Jesus has provided to all humanity, for everyone who believes and comes to him. He has given them power, 12. That is the awesome message of grace. It is the message that Jesus preached. Come, eat my body, drink my blood. That's what it was all about. Everything that he did completely removed what was hindering us from being able to access our Father's presence. And that is grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is so
hallelujah.
Awesome.
Amen.
Awesome.
Praise the Lord. That's awesome. That's awesome there. At this time, anybody that has an illness of any sort, I mean, if they got a sore throat, if they got a hurting chest, if they got anything, I ask you just put your hand on the chest, put your hands on the knee, put your hand wherever that is. We're going to pray for you right now. Lord Heavenly Father, I ask you, I lift up, it's everybody on this broadcast that's listening to this, in Jesus' name, I command all ailments to leave now in Jesus' name. I curse all the spirits of pain, all the spirits of infirmity, I curse them at the root and at the seed. I command them to break free now. I command all the affirmative leave now. Pain leave now 100%. I command all pain to leave the knees. I command cartilage in the knees to be healed. I command all the tendons in the legs to be healed. I command all the joints in the hands to be healed. I command the knuckles. I'm feeling somebody having problems with it in their knuckles. I command all the calcium in the knuckles to be repaired. All the knuckles in their cells just to be fully repaired. I command all the tendons to be repaired. I command all the strength to be added back to their hands where they can move their hands again. I also curse arthritis at the root and at the seed. I command that spirit of arthritis, the spirit of crippling to leave. I curse it at the root and at the seed. I command to flee and leave now in Jesus' holy name. You have no right there. I take your right. I command you to break loose now in Jesus' name. I'm feeling now there's somebody's got a back problem. I think it's their lower back. Spirit of pain, I command you to break out of their back now, out of their spine. I curse you at the root and at the seed, and I bind you. I command you to break free now, break loose. I command all the spinal cord to be realigned now in Jesus' name. I command the back to be fully realigned. I command all the discs in the back to be fully repaired now in Jesus' name. Be repaired now in Jesus' name. If anybody has their hand on their back or having somebody in their room that has that hand on their back for them, I command that back to be fully repaired now. Pain break out of their back and break loose now in Jesus' name. Jesus, I ask you to pour your blood upon their back. Just let it roll down their back, repair everything. Just let your blood just pour upon his black back now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes,
I think right now, seeing somebody's head at this time, I think somebody's got a migraine or something going on with their head. It can be confusion or whatever. While I'm at this, I want to say, spirit of confusion, I curse you at the root and at the seed, and I command you to break free in Jesus' name. You have no authority there. I take your authority. I command you to break loose now in Jesus' name. Spirit of affirmity, break loose out of the sinuses now in Jesus' name. I command spirit of depression to break loose out of their mind. I curse you at the root and at the seed. I command you to leave the roots, the rooms of their mind and break loose now and leave now in Jesus' name. I command you to go to the pit and never come back. I command all these demonic beings that are stuck in these people. I command them to go to the pit. I bind them all. I command them to never come back in Jesus' name. I command freedom. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to bring freedom upon their bodies, bring wholeness to their bodies now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for this. I thank you for their healings. I thank you for their transformation. I thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
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 Amen. Stan, I've seen somebody struggling with addiction right now. There's somebody out there listening right now who's thinking about taking something right now to try to give yourself some type of high, but that is going to kill you. Do not take it. Spirit of the Lord is saying that addiction is killing you. You need to turn your heart to God and let his word become your new addiction. Lay down that garbage that you've got in your hand right now and just pick up the word of God and begin to read the word of God. It will save you. It will heal you, and it will cause you to rise up and come up out of that pit that you've been in, that you have caused yourself to fall in. You're falling in potholes every day, all the time, because your focus is in the wrong place. The Spirit of the Lord is saying to you right now, lay that garbage down and pick up abundant life, the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. A person that has addiction, I ask you to put your hand on the front of your head. Fear of addiction, I curse you at the roots and at the seed. And I chain your legs together, and I command you to break loose in Jesus' name. Spirit of suicide, I curse and bind you in Jesus' name. Spirit of death, I curse and bind you in Jesus' name. And I command you to break loose out of this guy's mind, out of his heart in Jesus' name. I command fire, Holy Spirit. fire on these things. I command these things to be cinders. Fire, fire. I command blue fire on these things. Blue fire on them in Jesus' name. The hottest fire the Holy Spirit has. Burn these things. I find these things, I curse them, and I command them to break loose. I command them to break loose in Jesus' name. Break loose in Jesus' name. Go to the pit and never come back. Go to the pit. Go to the pit. Go to the pit. Go to the pit. Break loose. Break up. Break loose off this guy. Break loose. Break loose in Jesus' name. Break loose. I command you to break loose now in Jesus' name. Father,
in
Jesus' name, I ask you to send your deliverance angels on this guy and finish this job. I command all this to be fully removed off this guy and have him fully delivered in Jesus' holy name. Lord, I also ask you to pour your blood that he spilled for us over him. Just soak him in your blood. Soak him in your blood. Soak him in your blood in Jesus' name.
I
ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise
he is good. He is good. He is worthy.
Amen. I feel a release in the air right now. I just feel like something just happened. Something just was released. Somebody was just delivered. I feel that in the atmosphere right now. And I can feel this stuff when it happens. And I just feel whoever is listening, whoever is going to listen, has just been released. The Lord has just blessed them. And they're going to start with a new life. They're going to find a new life that they never knew before. So praise the Lord on that.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. This coming Saturday, I'm going to come on the radio show, and we're going to be talking about different predictions, different things that is going on for the next year. I did have a New Year's show, which was kind of just music and stuff, and I was just goofing around with the music stuff. Just people have something to listen to, and I told you about some of the things that's coming on with the show in the next coming year. I think I told you we're going to try to put some events together, and we're going to try to have some of the people that's talked on here to come together in an event and put on a program for people and let them see who we really are, who we are in person. You're going to get to see the power of God working in front of your face, not just on the show or call in. You're going to see it. Hands on, you're going to get to see it. That's going to be amazing things that you probably ain't saw before. There's many of y'all have saw this and probably has actually done this. But at this time, I'm going to try to put some people together where we can put this together. We might even have Robert to come down and do a speaking for us. And, you know, we're going to bring us all together here, and we're going to show people what God is doing through his ministry, what God's doing through us. And it's going to be amazing. Time and event, but we're going to fix and put this together. I'm going to find some more people and stuff. But it's going to be an awesome event, and I've had many guests on this show, and I've already had one that's already plugged in that he'd come. So it's something in the woodworks that we're trying to put together, and I try at least put one together ever so often. And I do want to tell everybody, Art Thomas has actually been on this show. He is coming down here in March, and I think it's the 16th and the 15th he's going to be here, but the location ain't been really plugged in yet because they're in between two locations, which one's going to be open during that time, so that's not a sure thing yet where it's going to be, but he is coming to North Carolina, so it's going to be awesome, and it's going to be all types of things going on there. But the Saturday show, we are going to talk about some of the predictions, and I'm going to really ask the Lord and really deal deep in the Lord for him to give us more of a prediction, see what he's going to give me. One thing, what if the Lord gave you, Robert? I know he gave you something.
Back this past Sunday, when we were closing out our service here at His Reflection Church, the Holy Spirit told me to prophesy to the group and to tell them that this year, 2015, was going to be one of the greatest years the church has ever experienced. The power of God is going to be manifesting greater than what they experienced on the day of Pentecost with the original group of apostles. We're going to see a greater manifestation than what they experienced at Azusa Street. It's going to be that latter, the first and the latter rain combined
our shadows are going to cause healing to manifest. We're going to be standing in a place and see somebody ailing and hurting and just speak the word, and they're going to be healed, set free, and delivered without even laying on of hands. It's going to be a great year for us financially. Things are going to start happening on such a great magnitude that it's going to overwhelm many. It's a beautiful year that's ahead of us, 2015. The most awesome thing was he said that at 12 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, and then at 3 a.m., I heard another minister of the gospel say the very same thing. So the Holy Spirit's not just saying that to me through me. He's saying that same thing through other people about what's going to happen in 2015. Amen.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That was pretty cool, because he always validates things that he tells you where you believe what you got, you know. And
that's right.
I know the same. I've got something too, and the Morning Star minister that we was talking about earlier before the show, he gave me something. I got something through him on YouTube. I was like, that dude just said something I just said. That's pretty cool.
No.
You know? So,
amen.
I've got something. I'm gonna leave mine until Saturday, where I won't, you know, mess the show up next Saturday. So I've got some things.
Yeah.
I got some things that was actually given to me. Me and Heath Adams came together, and we talked about doing some missionary stuff. And right when I got home, the Lord gave me some stuff from Jeremiah. It was kind of indicating about some things that's going on here in the north, and what the Lord is doing with the people of God in the north, and that's going to be unique. And I'm gonna get right into that and read that to y'all. And when I read that to Heath, he's like, "Oh my God, that is just the prediction there. What's going on?" I was like, "Cool, you know." So,
amen.
The Lord just. The Lord prophesied in the Word of God. I mean, it was just like, whoo, right there it is, right there in the Word, man. I was like, that's awesome. So,
amen. Amen.
A lot of prophets, you know, we get things, you know, it's given to us, and we get it, you know, and then we hear somebody else, and we find it in the Word, but we don't act. I mean, some of us get it right out of the Word, but it's kind of unique when it's just like, it's drawing home to what's going on in your life. It's drawing home to what's going on in your ministry, or going on in many ministries in your area. And when the Lord just pinpoints it, and it's just right there, and it blows your mind. Like, he is paying attention, you know, like that type of thing. So it gives you a little wake up call and shows you, man, that Bible, you know, it's gonna prophesy to you, and it's gonna tell you things. You just got to be open and be willing for Him to use it. And while I was talking about dust your Bible off, I was looking on Facebook today, and they had a picture of a Bible that had dust all over it, and they wrote in the dust, "Read me." And
wow, great.
And it was kind of interesting how people that have that old Bible underneath their table in their living room or somewhere, and they never pick it up, and they just look at it, and they don't really read it, and it's really meant to be read. It ain't meant to be looked at.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you got one sitting on your table don't make you holy. The words in there is what makes you holy. The words that comes into you is what makes you holy. Not
mm-hmm.
just looking
mm-hmm.
at it, you know. So
Yeah.
Put that book to use.
That's for sure. Hey,
yep.
Stan, on the note of what we kicked off the show with about what Jesus did in cleaning up the mess, I had something laid out here I was wanting to read to the group if I have time. Do I have time to read this?
Yeah,
okay.
You got 20 minutes.
This here is titled Fixed on the New, and it was a writing the Holy Spirit gave me back in July of 2012. Just like Jesus, who was fixed on fulfilling the call of God on his life, just like Jesus was set on going to Jerusalem, well aware of the outcome, just like Jesus was set on the cross, and he came to the place when he would speak no more to figure out what was about to take place. Just like Jesus, we also must be fixed on the new. The new really is the original rehashed. The original state of our being has been restored for sons of God functioning. Jesus has restored dominion to our spirit, which is now a complete duplicate of himself. Being fixed on the new means that we consistently consider what we have been given and promised by our Heavenly Father, who created us to reign with him. Fixed on the new will prove to liberate us from the bondage of the old. This old that I'm speaking of is the old sinful and fallen state of our being, and is also the old covenant which can't save us, nor can it be fulfilled through my self-righteous attempts to be accepted by God. If you are fixed on the new, you will have the mind that is in Christ Jesus, and the life of God will flow from you. Just like Jesus, you find yourself living righteous by accident before you live in sin intentionally. Christ has redeemed us from the law of sin and death and given us something new and divinely good to think about. Let the new part of you demonstrate its origin, and do not allow the old nature that has been conquered by Jesus to regain any authority in your life. Fix your heart on the new. Amen.
Amen. That's awesome.
Amen. That's where our minds need to be, fixed on the new. As we fix our hearts, you know what fixed means? Have you ever took and like nailed down a 2x4 to a deck, and then if you were to step back and try to kick it, it didn't move? That is nailed down, established, like a foundation. You would pour a foundation and then you build a wall on that concrete foundation. That is fixed on the new. This is what he's trying to get us to do, to come out of thinking the old way and trying to live by the old standard and come under the new way of thinking. I heard something today that was just, it was beautiful when I heard it. I had to write it down. If you approach God and you feel condemned, if you feel shame and you feel guilt when you try to approach God, you're going to God in your own ability, looking at you and not looking at Christ. Come on.
Amen.
I'm like, wow, that's what's so wrong with law. That's what's wrong with religion. It's based on you and your works and what you do, and they can't save. But Christ has already did everything. He's fixed everything. The only part of the job that we need to do is to believe in what he's done. Accept it, take it, reach out and grab it, and then make that what you pursue every day. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. Now, Robert, how did your church service go last week?
Our church service went great. The message that I preached was the overpayment. He overpaid. Woo! He went through some awesome things, and that was what my message was all about. Recognizing what he did for us goes beyond what he did on the earth, because he left the earth and he went into the pit, into the belly of hell, which is much worse than what we see and know he went through here on the earth. So that was what we talked about, sin, and it went wonderful. We had a great time in our first service, and I'm looking forward to this Sunday, hoping that people do have the ability to make it, come and be a part of what God's doing here at His Reflection Church, because this belongs to Jesus. This ministry belongs to the Holy Spirit. He shall get the glory for everything that happens here. And that's what I'm focused on, just making available the place where Holy Spirit can minister through. That's what His Reflection
Amen.
Church is all about. Amen.
Amen. That's awesome.
Amen.
It's awesome that he's brought you to this point and got you where you can start your church and get
mm-hmm.
you some members. And, you know, everybody starts out calling it that way, and he builds the churches up till, you know, one day you'll be in a great big building, a full, humongous congregation, and be blowing
Amen.
Your mind.
Amen.
But,
Amen.
What is so unique is that, you know, a lot of people think you just go to ministry school or whatever and you jump out and you jump into a church, but it really don't, I'll say a real minister, it don't really happen that way. You have to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be ready and be seasoned. And I know by your own story that you've been seasoned quite a bit, and the Lord has you ready. He's opened the doors that you're needing at this time.
Amen.
And I mean, I remember some stories he told me that you thought you was ready back years ago, and you didn't even feel that you was ready back then. But
mm-hmm.
it was unique how you was telling me, you was like, you know, now the Lord has opened His doors, and I'm ready now. I have went through my things. I have studied. The Lord has opened new revelations, and I'm ready now. And that's the way I think every minister should be doing. Every minister should be ready to work for God and not for a buck. You know, not how much
Amen.
Money you're going to get in the pulpit, but be ready to how many people you're going to bring into the kingdom. And that's
Amen.
What the Lord's all about. When the Lord is working on you, He's wanting you to build His kingdom, not your pocketbook. And that's what's so amazing about you, Robert. I mean, I saw you every day, even at work. I mean, you're preaching and you're teaching. I mean, you're doing what the Lord has created you to do. And I am very positive that all the stuff you've been through has got you ready for this point. And
mm-hmm.
I can tell you many times that I saw some people have the so-called perfect life, that they didn't have the ability to help people in many different situations because they didn't have, I'll say, the ability to go back and learn anything from it because they've never had anything like that. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people had a hard life. They can tell people it's in that same position and say, hey, I've been there. I know where you're at now. I know how I got out of that place. Let me help you, you know. And like the Lord said, He came to help the sinners. He didn't come to help the Pharisees and the priests. He came to help the sinners, and that's what we're here for. He's created us where we can help the sinners. He let us
mm-hmm.
fall where we could get some education on this stuff. And, I mean, when you saw Jesus go and get disciples, He didn't go to the temple to get the high priest to follow Him. He went to the underground. He went fishermen, the low life of the area that not many people talk to. They were sailors. You know how it is. They're cussing and having a good time and doing their things. And even, you know, Peter, when he's in the boat, he's like, Lord, I'm unworthy to be close to you. He said,
mm-hmm.
he's like, yeah. He said, you're a fisher now, but you will be fisher of men. So he didn't
yeah.
say, well, you're right. You ain't worthy of me. See you, buddy. He didn't say that.
No.
He didn't say, I'll get out of the boat. He jumps out there swimming towards shore. He didn't do that. Man, you smell like fish. I won't be around you. No, he didn't say that. He was like, yeah, you're what I'm here for. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Lord had a hard time with these folks. I mean, they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't pay attention. And but He gave them pearls. He
mm-hmm.
gave them pearls of wisdom and understanding
mm-hmm.
that the Pharisees couldn't comprehend because their brain was so programmed to their religious stuff there was no more room in there to accept what He had, the truth that He had. And every time
mm-hmm.
the truth would come into their mind, it'd bounce off of their religious items, and they'd be like, no, that don't agree with what I already believe. So, you know, I ain't going to have no more to do with it. So a lot of people that's fully religious, that has that religious spirit, one thing, there is a religious spirit. It is a demon to destroy you from God, to pull you away from Christ. That's what it's been put on earth to do, is to strip you from Christ, to get you so caught up in your problems that you don't know what love is, and you never will be, because every time you think you start grasping something, it'll knock you down and start accusing you of something. So that's what it's created for. But the real gospel is to show you the love of God, what he did for you, how he corrected your mistakes, how he brought you to his love, not what how he can, you know, step on you more. And one thing that I've always heard is a lot of people say, well, didn't Jesus make the law even harder? Didn't he even add more to the law when he was walking here on earth?
No.
And my simple thing to this has always been is that he was just letting you know that there was no way, shape, or form that you could live this law out. These people was in a law that it was impossible for them to live out. They could not live out this law. They thought they could. They thought they could. But every time they thought they could, Jesus would throw another one back at them, like the rich guy. The rich guy was like, Pharisee, he was like, oh, I've paid all my tithes, and I've did all of this stuff, and, you know, I'm not a sinful man. And then Jesus looked at him and said, sell everything that you have and follow me. He couldn't do that.
See? That's the rich young ruler.
Yeah, rich young ruler. But it's just things like that. You know, it's just, you know, it was impossible. Without him, there was no way. There was no way.
That's right. That's right. You know what I like about that story all along is it's not pointed out that when he told Jesus that he had done it since his youth, when Jesus asked him the law, his question, when the rich young ruler came to Jesus, it was based on works. What must I do to obtain eternal life? That's based on works, which is based on law. So Jesus threw the law at the rich young ruler. Excuse me. But the thing that got the rich young ruler was when Jesus showed him where his heart really was, the very first commandment he was breaking, having no other God before him. He just simply just popped his bubble with sell all that you have, give it away and come follow me. Wow, he showed us that he had another God before him, which was breaking the first command. If you're going to be of the law, you must live all the law. If you fail one, you fail them all. So the rich young ruler was stamped as a failure because he couldn't do the first law. Jesus wasn't rejecting him. He was just simply trying to point out to the man that you are lacking something. You can't save yourself. There's no way you've lived all the law, because there was no one who could fulfill it, you know? And that's one thing that you don't see when you're reading that story. If you just read it as a story, you're not going to see that. You got to dig a little bit deeper in that thing, because Jesus exposed the enemy right there. That was good stuff.
It's another way of proving to them that it was impossible for them to live that thing out. And the whole time, the Pharisees had them believing that they could, that there was a way. And then Jesus went and pulled the curtains down from the Pharisees and told them that they was polished tombs, but they was dark and rotten inside. That they was lawless. They was lawlessness inside, because I'm gonna tell you one reason why the Pharisee was lawlessness, because they could get by with anything. Anytime they would sin, they could change the law if they wish.
Yeah.
And then when they changed the law, then those people had to go with that law. So I mean,
well,
it's go ahead, Robert.
I was going to say what they did was they would water the law down to it, like an amendment. Doctrines of men and traditions of men, they added things to it which made it of less effect, to where it made it appear that they were actually living it, measuring it up to it. That's what they did that he called them out on. They were sitting there trying to make it appear like they were doing it, but they really weren't, because they watered it down, made it less strong, so it would have the appearance that they were actually living it. And Jesus broke his foot off in there, honey.
You know, they try to make it look appear to it, but it's kind of like, you know, some of our Congress and stuff today. It's like when they can change the law anytime they want to. It's kind of like they can give themselves a raise when they want to, just vote it in, you know.
Yeah.
And I wish I could do that. Hey, I want $20 raise, you know. Yeah, we all do.
Uh-huh.
It don't work like it. It don't work like it. And once you break one law, you're breaking all the laws. And that's basically what he was actually showing these people, was that the Pharisees, they wouldn't live in the law. The Jewish people wouldn't live in the law. That they needed Jesus worse than anything. They couldn't see it. They just couldn't see it. And the more they showed it to them. And I'm going to tell you, well, we might be running out of time, 2 minutes, but the main thing is that when we're showed our wrongs, a lot of times we don't like that.
Yeah.
And until we met our wrongs, we don't change. Mm-hmm. And that's the main thing is, you know, repent. Give this stuff to Jesus. I mean, that's what he died for. The Jews couldn't do that. They couldn't do that. They had to sacrifice law, all types of animals and stuff. Well, you can just give it to Jesus, and he takes it. He's like, thank you. It's gone, you know. And that's, it's that simple, but just give it to him. It's that simple. He already knows it anyway. You don't have to hide it. He already knows it when you've done it. And trust me, the enemy knows it too. So
that's right.
So, just hand
that's
it to
right.
him. And that's the main thing. And clear conscience. Clear
Come
yourself.
On.
And that's the main thing about it. Don't be embarrassed of it. Because we've all did crazy things. We've all made crazy mistakes. We just give it to the Lord and let him do what he paid. You know, let him get what he paid for, you know.
Come on, Stan. Say it good.
But, amen. But,
amen.
It's been a great show today, Robert. Thanks for coming on, like always.
Thank you for having me.
It's always a pleasure. And we'll see y'all Saturday morning at 9:30. God bless every one of y'all. And may y'all all have a great night. God bless every one of you.
Good night.
Every single word I say, you know it before I say.